The Sportscast, October 20th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or download our app, The Sportscast for iOS. And our Twitter, go look at us there at thesportscast1. Manchester United coming from behind. Around halftime, they were down 2-0 against Atalanta. Everyone was calling Ole Solskjaer to get fired, which has been rumbling this past couple of days and weeks. But Ronaldo saved the day, winning 3-2, and joining us all the way from the West Coast, Francisco Flores. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
How's it going, Santiago? Thanks for having me. It's good to be back and talking some Champions League, like always. And Ronaldo game winner, what couldn't be, you know, better than that?
You can't beat it. Ronaldo, you're very familiar from Ronaldo, the greatest of all time, coming through. Ole, obviously, you know, down the dumps. But after being down 0-2, I thought it was over. But what were your thoughts over this match?
Yeah, I thought, you know, they went down way too easily. There was, like, no pressure at all for Manchester United, no urgency of any kind to do anything. They let Atalanta just walk all over them in that first half. Probably one of the worst halves I've seen from them this season since Ronaldo has arrived. If I was Ronaldo, who's probably doing all the speeches and everything at halftime, he probably yelled at them so hard. And told them, what are you guys doing? Ole Gunnar just sitting in the back, crossing his arms like, oh, man, this is going to be my last job. And thankful for him, for Ole Gunnar, if I was Man United, I would have already, you know, got rid of him. But thankfully for him, Ronaldo saved his job once again. It's always happened with Ole Gunnar. He's like on the verge of getting fired, and then out of nowhere, here comes Ronaldo to the rescue. I think it's been twice now that he's done this. Saved his career, you know, because they were probably not going to get rid of him. He could probably lose 10 games in a row, and he isn't going to get fired. I think, man, you are pretty adamant about the whole, like, we made a lot of transfers and a lot of spending of money, and the results haven't been showed for it, as in trophies and wins and whatnot. And so I think because of that, they're going to hold on to Ole Gunnar until the end of the season, no matter good or bad, what happens, you know, in the off summer. I think that would be their best case scenario to find a new manager. I don't think it's worth it to do it now once it started, even though the people at the stadium were chanting Ole Gunnar out at halftime. But, you know, that's just how people are going to feel. 2-0, obviously you're going to be very emotional being down 2-0 at home. Like, no, nobody wants that. So I could understand it from that perspective, but you know, you never know what could happen, and that's what this game showed, that you can't let your guard down, and you know, you gotta let the fans you know, lift you and support you, and hopefully that's what the glass half full Man United fans were yelling to those fans that were saying Ole Gunnar out, you know, because it's a halftime, huh? You can't be doing that at halftime. At least wait until after the game, till you know the result. You know, 2-0, it does suck, but I think it was a little uncalled for, I would say, from the Man U fans to do that. I think they should have just waited till after the game. But good game from Ronaldo. Maguire, he redeemed himself for that terrible defending that he did in the first half. And Rashford getting that goal to put them back into the game. So, yeah, well done. Well, good comeback. I enjoyed it. That was... I was watching Golasso's show, and then I switched it back to Man U game after the first goal. I was like, oh, I feel something. I feel like it's coming back. So I watched the rest of it. But, yeah, I liked it. I liked the performance from Ronaldo. And even at the end when he was defending, like, I liked that about him a lot. You know, he doesn't give up. And, yeah, Ronaldo, what more can I say?
United now is in the top of Group F with 6 points. Atalanta dropping to second, and these sides meet again in 2 weeks in Italy. Before that, United have another big game against rivals Liverpool on Sunday in the Premier League, which Francisco will predict at the end of the show. And Atalanta face Udinese in Serie A. So these two teams will face again in 2 weeks in Italy. Do you think things will be different then? Different game or similar?
I think it'll be a different game from Man United's perspective. There's no way they can go into the game like they did in the first half. They can't go into that the second game doing that. And Atalanta just, I feel like they had a pretty good chance and with a 2-0 lead. I thought they were going to do it, but it looked kind of just weak legs. And, you know, the players just have been playing a lot of consistent minutes, the same 11, and Man United has a pretty stacked bench. They have a pretty good rotation of players, even in their, you know, box-to-box midfielders and whatnot. Like, the substitutions, I feel like that's what ended up being the key for Man United in the end. But yeah, they I think should, or they have to play a different game, because if not, it's going to look bad again. And Ole Gunnar's going to be on the verge of getting fired again.
Ole Gunnar. Yeah, so far so good for Man United, of course. I agree with Francisco. Wait till the end of the season. Look at the results. Of course, I think Ole needs to win something, a FA Cup or win a Champions League or the league, because they got to show results. They're spending. They got Ronaldo. There's no excuses not to win a trophy. Barcelona defeated Dynamo Kiev, securing their first win of the Champions League campaign, beating Kiev 1-0. Joao Pique, Francisco's man, scored the only goal of the game in the first half as he powered a volley past Georgi Bouchkan from close range after launching onto Jordi Alba's cross. Neither team threatened the goal in the second half, allowing Barca to close out a vital victory to ease the pressure on Ronald Koeman. Hey, Barcelona got their first win.
Yep. I'm not excited at all about the win or the Pique goal. Actually, I think Pique is their second top scorer, I think, of the season so far. So, well done to him for that. He should keep it up, you know, keep his goal-scoring record. I love it when your center back is your top goal scorer. That's that's just the best.
What's wrong with this Barcelona team?
A lot of things. Starting with a manager that wants his style of play to work so bad, but Barcelona have been set up as a team to play a certain way for a really long time, and that way is to play around Messi. And since they don't have a player like that, everything is just falling apart. So I think it starts with the manager. For me, Koeman is not the right fit. He's a club legend, yeah, but I think it's, as far as the how he sets up his team, he's going to lead a lot of different players, or at least the players, to get out of that mindset of this is, you know, the tiki-taka Barcelona from the day, because that's what most of these guys have known, you know, since they've been at the club. So I think that is what's failing them, that they don't have a coach that is coaching them for their needs and the type of team that they have. So Koeman needs to adapt to the team that he has, and if he can't do that, then bye-bye Koeman. Got to get someone else.
But he coached for Everton. How can you say that?
Exactly. Well, he doesn't have any. When you look at his playing career, he's got tons of, you know, he won a bunch of trophies and whatnot. But when you look at his manager career, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Not even a good record, like, with the teams that he's been at. Like,
should he take the Newcastle job?
In the top level, I think at PSV he did pretty well. But you know, that's the Dutch league. Anybody could go and coach there.
Even you, Francisco.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of things to fix with this Barcelona team, and yeah, one win will you know, get your fans on the good side, but I think they have a lot of things to work on before they even can think about moving out of the group stage. I don't think they're gonna make it out of the group stage.
as I said before, first win of the UCL journey. They're at third place in their group, behind Benfica and Bayern Munich. So definitely doesn't look too promising. Only got a few more rounds left, so we'll see what this Catalan team will do. Villarreal defeated Young Boys 4-1. Goals by Pino Moreno. Two goals by Moreno and a goal by Elia. Any comments on that?
I thought Young Boys actually had a lot of opportunities, a lot of good shots in front of the goal. They just couldn't get one to actually go in. One went in, but of those really good shots that they have, none of those went in. There was at least two or three that I saw that they were really good plays, but they just didn't go in. And Villarreal took advantage of that, slowly breaking down their opponent, you know, which is what they're known for. Their manager, Unai Emery, somehow always being able to manage other teams and break them down. He's a really under the radar coach, I would say. I think he's really smart in the way that he studies the other teams, and I think he's really underrated in that sense. So maybe he should get another shot, you know, at Arsenal. Yeah, he was trying to polish a turd. You know, you can't do that. You know, it's still going to be a turd in the end. So I think he deserves another chance, because if he's doing winning games, not specifically against Young Boys, but we have seen him, you know, beat Man United, beat, you know, other teams in other leagues. And I think he should get another shot for that. And he's been able to get this yellow submarine team going. And I like it. I like the way that they're playing.
Which he's rumored to go to Newcastle as well.
Everyone's rumored to go. Ronaldo, Messi, Mbappe, Haaland, and Unai Emery, Koeman. Who else? Manager? Oh, Conte. He's
Francisco Flores.
Yeah, I'm available. Hey, hit me up, Newcastle.
I'll take it. Anyways, Salzburg versus Wolfsburg. Salzburg beat Wolfsburg 3-1. Salzburg run continues in the season's Champions League. It was the Noah Okafor show. He had about two goals in the show in the second half, with two goals prove to be the difference maker in the home side. Yeah. Good win by Salzburg. Easy win. Any thoughts on that?
Salzburg, yeah, they've been slowly, you know, cruising under the radar. I think their ability to, you know, play hard, even though they've lost some really good players to other teams. I think they've been able to reinforce their team, and yeah, I think they're going to do well. And I have no problem with saying that they're going to make it to the next round.
Round 16, they're in first place.
The surprise team.
First place in Group G, then Sevilla, then Lille and Wolfsburg. And speaking about Lille and Sevilla, they tied 0-0. Nothing going on there. The closest efforts were by Mir and Sousa, but they couldn't quite get the ball in the net, Francisco.
Yep, 0-0 match, boring. They didn't really pay attention much to this one, because I saw the lineup and there is a Mexican on Lille. I don't know if you know this.
No, who is it?
Eugenio Pizzuto. Eugenio Pizzuto.
Is he part of the national team prospects?
No, not right now, because, well, he was before he snapped his leg in his debut in Liga MX. And then after he recovered, Pachuca, I think that's the team that he was at, they were like, no, we don't want to renew your contract. So Lil was like, hey, you haven't been playing in a year, you broke your leg, why not, we'll buy you. So he's been there over a year, but he hasn't really gotten any chances or playing time. He played in the reserves, but yeah, every time Lil plays, I look on for the bench, you know, is he there, is he starting? Nope. So we'll see if he ever gets a chance, but yeah, didn't really pay attention to this game. 0-0 as well, because, you know, it was boring. It was just a boring 0-0 match.
Mexicans abroad in Lille, France. Chelsea beat Malmo 4-0. They won handsomely against Malmo. We're playing the spare, of course, goals by Christensen, Havertz, and Jorginho, who scored twice. Chelsea are pretty much the best in the world right now, Francisco, after beating Malmo.
Best in the world. I wouldn't say best in the world, but I guess they do deserve the title because they won the Champions League. So they are the current defending champions of the trophy. But yeah, it was easy win for them. Malmo had no chance. Only bad part, or not only, but the bad part, bad parts, I should say, because it's two things that happened. Lukaku and Timo Werner go down with injuries. Lukaku went down after they granted them a penalty for the foul, and it looked like he was just got, you know, kicked and fouled pretty hard, which I think he should be back from that. But Timo Werner looked like he pulled the hamstring there. He was all by himself. He was running. He was asking for the ball, didn't get it, and when he tried stopping, he grabbed his back of the leg and sat down and went out. So
Lukaku we'll got pinched too, right?
For the next game. Yeah, yeah. He got I think he got kicked or something. It was on the penalty foul.
It was a bang, yeah.
That Jorginho scored.
Hey,
but
Chelsea can't
we'll
complain.
See. They have Kai Havertz though.
Can't complain. They beat Malmo. They're on top of the Premier League. What else can you ask for?
Yeah, right. That's true.
Okay. Juventus defeats Zenit 1-0. Dejan Kovleski comes off the bench to break hearts in Russia for the locals and to bless the Benacerri with another Champions League win. They move further clear at the summit in Group H with 9 from 9 taken, and their host now face a tough road to the knockout rounds full-time. Yeah, pretty easy win. Juventus looking pretty without Ronaldo.
Yeah, getting by with these very small of margin wins. 1-0 is what they've been pulling away with, and I think that they've just been getting not lucky, but getting playing mediocre, playing average, and just getting away with a late goal. And well, they won, you know, so. I don't think they look good, and obviously the 9 points and being on top of their group is not going to show for that. But I think these close wins, as soon as they come up against an opponent that's actually tough, because let's face it, Chelsea, yeah, but I think in the next rounds they're not going to survive.
Just wait till they face Man United.
Wait till they face Ronaldo. Exactly, Ronaldo's gonna show him. Like when Ronaldo scored the bicycle kick against Juventus when he was playing with Real Madrid, and they gave him a standing ovation. He's gonna do that again.
Quick question: who is your second favorite player in Man United?
I don't. You mean because Ronaldo's there?
I know Ronaldo's your favorite. I mean, it can't be anyone else.
Oh, well, it's because you said Man United player. I was gonna say I don't have a favorite Man United player.
Ronaldo.
Well, that's where he's at right now, but you just meant like current team. I'm gonna go with Rashford.
Okay,
yeah, I'm gonna go with Rashford. I was gonna say Sancho, but I'm gonna go with
Rashford. Is a super sub, I call him
Rashford. Yep, super sub. But hey, he's fast, he's quick, and he's a sharpshooter in front of that goal. He's pretty precise.
He's resilient. Man City 5-1 against Club Brugge, the best team in Belgium. Is this the best statement from Pep Guardiola's City side in the Champions League? They were dominant, well on top from start to finish, and those 5 goals put the polish on a victory that sent City to the top of Group A ahead of Messi's PSG that beat them 2-0 in Paris. Bruges fought well, Francisco, but were thoroughly second best for the vast majority of that game in a performance that shows that City are very much still one of the teams to beat in this year's Champions League.
Yep, I think Bruges played pretty well for having a squad that's not as up to the level of Man City, and they fought and they fought. They have good players, good dribblers like Noah Lang, who plays on the wing, and they had really good games. But when you're coming up against City, fully stacked squad. And they don't even have an actual striker, and yet they're able to put 5 goals on you. So that says a lot about this team. Phil Foden did great playing false 9 striker, whatever you want to call it. And Mahrez, of course, just always clinical in front of the goal with all his dribbling. He can pretty much get by anybody. We've seen him do it at Leicester and even now at City. Like, no one can defend Mahrez. He will get by anybody.
And another defender scored, Kyle Walker.
Kyle Walker, yep. And, both of the fullbacks were just doing Cancelo and Walker. I think they were attacking more than Phil Foden. They were making runs from deep and just smoking the bruised defense. João Cancelo was looking like a forward when he scored that goal. I was like, damn, he did that to those guys? Like, that's embarrassing.
Let's go PSG, Messi beating Leipzig 3-2. Mbappe scored, Messi scored two goals. Arbel Leipzig, Andre Silva, and Mulele scored. Hey, we got the Mbappe Messi going scoring pattern coming along.
Yeah, but don't get used to it because it's going to be the Mbappe and Benzema show here pretty soon.
Ooh, we're calling it already.
Don't be getting used to this Mbappe Messi, okay? It's not going to stay around for very long. I give full credit to Mbappe for that win, even though Messi scored both goals. And I love that Mbappe took away or didn't let Messi take the penalty for the hat trick and then missed it. That was the best thing he could have done. I think Ronaldo and Messi are tied right now for the most hat tricks in Champions League.
Of course.
Yeah, I think they're tied. So if Messi would have scored that one, he would have been on top by one hat trick. So I love Mbappe now more for that. Thank you for taking the penalty away from Messi and then missing it to just give him the ultimate middle finger to his face.
Well, PSG, of course, had a tremendous win. They're at first place, then Man City, then Club Brugge and Leipzig. Doesn't matter with the seeding, who's first or second. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it doesn't matter.
All right. The game of the week, I thought, but it was ugly. Liverpool edged it out with Atletico Madrid 3-2. Liverpool maintained their 100% record in Group B after defeating Atletico Madrid 3-2 in the Champions League clash at the Wanda Metropolitano. It was an eventful contest, to say the least, as the visitors stormed into a 2-0 lead through Mohamed Salah, Ballon d'Or candidate, and Naby Keita. However, the host answered through a brace from Antoine Griezmann, who got a red card to level the scores at the break. And the game took a turn when Griezmann had the red card for high boot on Roberto Firmino. Was it debatable? I don't think it was. Liverpool regained the lead after Diogo Jota was pulled down by Mario Hermoso in the box, allowing Salah to convert from the penalty box. Minutes later, the ref then awarded Atletico a spot kick after Jota appeared to push Jose Jimenez, only for the official to overturn his decision. After consulting the screen at the side of the pitch, Jurgen Klopp's men held their composure to see out the victory on the road. This is an important win for Francisco.
Yeah, it was an important win. I thought Liverpool got too confident and let Atletico back into the game with those two goals. I think if Griezmann wouldn't have got sent off, it probably would have been a different outcome in the game, to be honest. But in the end, they got the penalty. For me, I think the second one that VAR took back, I thought that was a penalty because it was basically the exact same thing from the first penalty. The player was obstructing, the defender was obstructing the player that was trying to attack the ball and trying to prevent him from getting to it. That's how I saw it. So I thought it should have been a penalty. I thought they got robbed of a penalty, to be honest.
Well, Liverpool got the win. They're top of the group. Pretty excited about that as a Liverpool fan. And looking forward to this weekend because it's going to be one heck of a ride. Porto. Diaz earned Porto their first Champions League win of the season as they beat Milan 1-0. The host had a couple of good chances, although Taremi in the first half, but he fired them both narrowly wide. After the break, Porto kept the pressure on, and Diaz eventually drilled his low effort into the bottom corner. Milan thought it was fouled in the build-up, but the goal stood. The visitors just couldn't get into the game and barely troubled Costa. Good win by Porto.
Yep, good win for Porto. It was a must-win game for both of these sides. Basically, it's going to be super hard to qualify now for Milan. They could still do it, but they're going to have to win every single game from here on out for sure now. So no dropping points, no ties. They need to win every single game to even have a chance. Because who knows what the other teams are going to be able to do. So well done for Porto, of course. That's good because there's a Mexican on Porto, Tecatito Corona, who went in as a sub, played about 30 minutes, and was able to close the game down and didn't let anybody buy him, playing as a right back. And so, yeah, I liked what I saw from him. Luis Diaz, that guy's going to – he's going to be gone. He's going Premier League.
Manchester City or Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Yeah, everyone's going to Newcastle. All right. Sporting secured an impressive and much-needed 4-1 victory. The visitors asserted their dominance in a breathless first half. Sporting took the lead through Coates' header from a corner, but Busquitas stuck ahead when Larin headed in a corner of their own. But Busquitas' frailty in the air was exposed when Coates scored an identical goal to make it 2-1. Sporting then made it 3 when Coates headed it against Vida's arm to win a penalty. Sarabia stepped up to knock the spot kick to make it 3-1, but there was still time for more drama. Texeira scored a stunning volley on the stroke of halftime, only for VAR to rule it out and ensured that Sporting retained their 2-goal advantage at the break. The second half was a more sedate affair as Sporting sat on their lead, but there was still an opportunity for the fourth goal when Paulinho curled in a brilliant strike from range. Sporting beats Pesquitas 4-1. Thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I think Sporting did well to dominate Besiktas. They completely outshot them and every stat possible just beat them. Besiktas just full team full of rejects and players that are done and burnt out.
Bunch of Brazilians?
But not as much as Shakhtar, but it's basically like the same thing. Yeah, half of the team is Brazilian. Sporting, yeah, it's weird team. I feel like they've been under the radar, not really talked about. So we'll see how it goes once they come up against a bigger, more popular team,
bigger shark.
But yeah, I'm not bigger shark. I'm not too hopeful, not too big on them. But hey, we'll see. We'll see what they can do. I need to see them play against a bigger team first, though.
Just like the British say, not so keen with them.
Not so keen. Yep.
Group C, first place Ajax, then Dortmund, then Sporting CP, then Pesquitas. A odd group, kind of weak. But Dortmund, second place, kind of surprised. But Ajax has made some deep runs before, so this should not be surprising to anyone. Ajax, as we discussed, beat Borussia Dortmund 4-0. This makes a statement. This is a statement match saying they're the best team in the group. Goals by Roos, Blin, Antony, and Holler. Is Ajax the best team in Group C?
I think so. I don't want to admit it because my boy Holland.
On paper? Oh, yeah, which he's going to a place in Madrid, right? That's what I heard next season?
He should be. He should be. Hey. If not, he's making a big mistake.
He's welcome, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely welcome. But yeah, terrible, terrible performance, I'm gonna say, from Dortmund and more specifically their goalie Gregor Kobel. He didn't make one single attempt to save any of those 4 goals that Ajax scored. He just stood there and watched every single one. So bad, bad, bad day for the goalie. I don't know if it was just he forgot his glasses or his contacts. I don't know, but he wasn't blocking anything. And, yeah, well done to Ajax. I will say Edson Álvarez did a heck of a job of stopping Erling Haaland. Like there was nothing, no shots, basically. Nothing was getting past Edson Álvarez. So, yeah, Madrid, there you go. How you want to stop the best in the world? You get yourself a badass center defensive midfielder from Mexico.
If the whole Mbappe Haaland happened, would that be a Galactus goes 4 or something? Because I know there's 2 already. Or this right? This Galactus 3.
This would be Galactus 2 3.5. Because they tried to do it and it didn't work.
Yeah, now Benzema carrying the team, which he's now carrying France, it feels like, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they won the Nations League 2 weeks ago. So, anyways, that is our Champions League recap of the October round. The next games are in 2 weeks, I believe in November, right?
I think, yeah, first week of November.
First week of November, so things are kind of ramping up. Really fast. Before we head into predictions, I'd like to go into the international. Mexico is in first place in the CONCACAF, then the U.S., Canada, Panama, Costa Rica, Jamaica, Salvador, and Honduras. The big match, USA-Mexico, things are looming. Mexico's having a great qualifying campaign so far. USA has struggled, but they're in second place, so it's not bad. But this game in Cincinnati, Francisco, how are you looking at this from a Mexican perspective?
Well, I am been saying for a while that, you know, we should have different players, different fullbacks. You know, the other players should be getting a chance, but it's no more time for that. No more time to be experimenting with players. You know, we gotta stick with the 11 that we have. Tata Martino shown us that he's headstrong. He's gonna, you know, keep those starting 11 and try to find a starting 11, whether you like those players or not. So. I just want consistency, and so if those same starting 11 are going to be playing against the U.S., then they're going to get their redemption, because that's basically going to be the team that they lost against in the Gold Cup. So this is a redemption game for me and Nations League. Well, it was a little bit of different U.S. team, but because I'm pretty sure he's going to bring all the big boys for this U.S. Mexico game, Berhalter. At least he'd be pretty dumb if he doesn't bring the big boys.
Would it be a difference if Pulisic played or not
to this game? Yeah, I think he has to play. He better call Gio Reyna. He better call all of them, all the reinforcements, because Mexico is going to come out and they're going to come out swinging. A lot of those players, like I said before, got really embarrassed for those two losses. And so this is a redemption game, and it's going to be, you know, lots of cleats are going to be, you know, shown, and there's going to be a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And that's what I want to see in these type of games.
New location, Cincinnati, is typically in Columbus, but they switched it. Dos Arcero again? We don't know. but this, okay, how do you view this? Is this U.S. team weaker than what you saw this past summer? Or they're like in the learning curve, but they'll be all right facing against Mexico.
I mean, if it's the same 11 from Gold Cup and CONCACAF or Gold Cup, I think they're gonna come out pretty strong, and I don't see them as weaker. I think it'll be a great match. So, I think it's going to be the best 11 of Mexico against the best 11 of the U.S. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, top two teams in the CONCACAF is what it sounds like. Greg Bonaforte from Facebook says, USA may have found its number 9 in Pepe.
Yeah. I think he's, for the future, I think so. I think he's definitely going to be the one that they're going to be looking at. And I hope he does well for you guys.
What else can I do is wish him well. I mean, I can't.
I hope he breaks a leg. I don't know.
Well, I don't know about that. But yeah,
Pepe. That's acting.
Yeah, Pepe has been the hero. The last round in September, he scored a couple goals. This past round, not so much. But the U.S. team has been, you know, they're in the learning curve. A lot of these players never has been to El Salvador. They've never been to Panama. So a lot of them in a huge learning curve, but when they play at home, they're a little bit more comfortable, but they have been having some slow starts. So against Mexico is right off the bang. They got to perform in Cincinnati. It should be a good one. I think Canada, besides those two teams, I think Canada is a team to be reckoned with, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's the only other team pretty much that is going to be competitive enough to compete in the World Cup against the big teams in Europe or whatever. I'm not saying that they're going to have a chance to beat them. That's probably the best representation of CONCACAF to represent the nation.
Which they tied against Mexico in Mexico.
Yeah, that is true. They did do that. I mean, other than that, I don't think there's any Costa Rica, maybe. But
no, I think Panama is the fourth best team for sure. I think they're a good team. Not as strong as 4 years ago, but I do think Panama is will probably make that playoff against, I guess, the Como Bowl team or an Asian team. I'm not sure who exactly they face. Yeah. So, but definitely CONCACAF looking good. Like we were talking about the show, the USA can do much mistakes. I don't. Yes, they can do much mistakes, but I don't think like they need to worry about it. I think the tough games are behind them, and I think with this learning curve, what they did so far, so good. But the Mexico game at home, at worst a tie, I would say it's good, but they got to win. But probably same for Mexico. We'll see how much of a fan base will be in Cincinnati.
Oh, it's going to be all green. Don't worry about that. It's going to be all Mexico. Okay, it's going to be another home game for Mexico. It doesn't matter where they go in the country. They should do it like in like Kentucky or like Mississippi. You know, then maybe there might be a different, you know, turnaround.
Yeah, or like Iowa or something, you know, somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
There you go.
You know, but like they can't have this game in Austin. Forget it. Or they can't have it anywhere in Texas or in California.
Nowhere close to the border.
Or even like Atlanta. They can't have it in Atlanta either.
Nope. Not even in Atlanta.
You know, which they broke a record. They broke a record with like the crowd. Greg says USA is a top team that could definitely compete with Mexico for sure. They got a lot of players in Europe, and it definitely is a big rivalry there. So the game is on November 12th, so we've got a few more weeks left. Looking forward to it. I think the ratings will be pretty high on both Spanish and English channels, so definitely looking forward to that and see what happens. Predictions for this weekend. We've got two big Clásicos. Let's go for the first English one. Liverpool at Man United. Francisco, who do you got for that match?
Well, I think it's going to be – both teams are going to score. Liverpool will probably go up first, and it'll be due to a Man United defensive mistake, because that's what they've always been doing. It'll go 1-1 at halftime, and I'm gonna say it's gonna be a late winner from your boy, my boy, Ronaldo, CR7. He's gonna get the job done again, Champions League style. He's gonna go to the knees, and everybody's just gonna love it. He's gonna slide on his knees and celebrate it like it's like if it was a Champions League goal. So I'm gonna say Man U 2-1.
2-1 Man United. I bet Ronaldo has played a few against Liverpool already. I think a couple of times, because I know he played four to six seasons with Man United, so he definitely has a taste of that already. Then in Spain, the classic, maybe the number one rivalry game in the world, Real Madrid visits Barcelona in Camp Nou. A different game this time around. It's a little bit weaker sides, not heavyweights, I would say. But what's going to happen in Camp Nou between Madrid and Barcelona?
Well, with how Barcelona has been playing this season, I think it's only going to turn out one way, which is Madrid. It's about time. Madrid goes into the Camp Nou and spanks some booty and slaps Barcelona around like they should have been doing when Messi was there, but were never able to.
But for some reason.
It's going to – there was one or two games, but, you know, Ronaldo was in those games. But ever since Ronaldo has left, we haven't got to really live up to that dream. And so that's what I'm predicting, that – It's finally gonna go down at Camp Nou. It's Camp Nou is gonna go down 3-0 Real Madrid with the win. And I'm gonna say Vinicius gets one, Benzema gets one, and Casemiro gets one off of a corner kick.
Wow, that's a bold prediction. And I mean, I could believe you if the game was played in Madrid, but you're doing Barcelona, you're going all the way. By the way, Ansu Fati got a contract extension till 2027, if that means anything to you.
I hope that he does well and scores a couple of goals you know. 1 billion release clause now, 1.19 billion, I think.
So he can't leave to Newcastle.
So he is definitely not going to Newcastle unless those Saudis bust out that oil money from their accounts.
And also, Gregorio reminded me there is a Italian derby this weekend, Inter versus Juventus. Would you like to predict that one, Francisco?
I'm gonna say Juve are gonna lose, and they're gonna finally, you know, come back to reality and realize that they're not as good as they thought they are. They're just getting by with these 1-0 wins. So Inter is gonna pull away with the win there. Inzaghi, the new manager, and we'll see. A goal from Dzeko.
Ooh,
I'm gonna say goal from Dzeko.
1-0, right? That's it.
I don't know if 1-0, but I know Inter will win for sure. 2-1. I'm going to say 2-1.
Gregorio Pinforte says he loves you. So you just gained a fan.
Thank you, Gregorio. I've never met you before, but add me on Twitter, at Francisco BCP.
BCP, check him out. So there you have it. Big, big prediction. Big games this weekend in soccer. Francisco, what is the – well, you just mentioned it. Is there another way, or is it just Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter is the best way to reach me, at Francisco BCP. Message me, you know, send me hate mail, whatever you want. Talks Barcelona fans, whoever. I welcome everybody. You know, I don't discriminate against whoever. Like I will respond back to everybody. All right, I'm just waiting here. I'm a keyboard warrior. You know, I'm waiting for somebody to go out so I can go off on them. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. He's ready for it.
So add me on my social media.
Francisco BCP on Twitter, and you can follow us at the Sportscast, at the Sportscast 1, and on our website, thesportscast.net. Tomorrow, we got Victor Rocho in the batter box getting ready to see what happens this weekend. Deshaun Watson might be coming to Miami, so we'll definitely keep our eyes peeled, see what happens in that trade. Anyways, any closing words, Francisco, before we head off into the sunset?
A la Madrid.
A la Madrid. God bless. Y nada más. Never walk alone.